What a joy and what a privilege it is to be back again tonight at Bethel. I was thinking of Jacob this morning. It's always nice to go back to Bethel, the house of God. And so it's good to be here tonight. I appreciate so much the invitation Brother Ray has given me. I read a little an article, I'll get this out of the road, in the Reader's Digest. Why it's so nice to come back home again. You always get happy when you come back to Bethel. Amen? By the way, there weren't many amens when that music was being sung. Tremendous, tremendous music. Why don't you give them a great big amen right now?
Amen.
Amen. That sounds better. If Doc Strachan was here, you'd get away with it. Amen. He wouldn't let you. Happiness is having a large, caring, close-knit family in another city. That's why it's so good to come home, I'll tell you, to be here. You've already read in your Bibles the scripture reading for this evening. I'll not be too long. I'll keep it short. That's hard to do sometimes, but we'll try our best to have a social time after in the Lord's table. Had the Lord's table this morning in our church, and they were short of deacons. And I was asked to fill in for one of the men. That's the first time I've served at the Lord's table since I left Kitchener Baptist Church. And it was a real thrill to be part of the service in that respect. It's always a great honor not only to come home, but to come home to Bethel and to be so welcomed and so greeted. It's a joy and a blessing. This will always be my home church. I never called any other church. Kitchener Baptist Church really was just our church, but this is our home church. We have so many memories here and so many, many thoughts that come to mind. When Brother Ray asked me if I would come down, he said, your name came up. And we were looking for a pulpit supply, and he said, your name came up. And I thought to myself, what have they got? Some kind of a lotto ring where they swing the names around and reach in and pull out a name. And then I thought, no, that's Brother Ray Kirkwood. Man, he's been here for a while. His daddy and me, we've been here a long time. So Brother Ray must be solid. And how Brother Art Weidrich's still here. So he wouldn't let anything like that slip by. He's a good man. Thank God for those precious memories. My mind goes back, even tonight, Brother Bob Tiro and his dad was in my class, the department we had. And Brother Tom Tiro, was in that department. And I worked with those men, and what a joy it was to work with them. And then now they've gone on to glory, and this could well be the last time I'll be here. You know, we all slip by one day or another. Things are slipping by one day at a time, but what a joy and what a welcome you've given tonight, and I thank you for it. In your Bible now, Psalm 37, if you will, please. Psalm 37, I love to go into the Old Testament and find the gospel. A lot of people say the Old Testament is not relevant to our day. And when the Apostle Paul was here, he emphasized the New Testament in Timothy. All scriptures got given by inspiration of God and is profitable to us. But I think of Peter. Peter says, prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I think the Holy Spirit moved in upon David here in this psalm. And he's got some things here for us. And I'd like to leave a few thoughts with you tonight, if you will, please. In verse 1 and verse 2, follow along with me, if you will, please. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers, for they shall soon be cut off. You know, we're living in a day when it's awful easy to be envious. Perhaps it doesn't affect you, but it does me. We have to guard against this. You know, sometimes you see people with so many nice things. One of my best friends has a home, and I visit with him sometimes, and probably the home would sell for $600,000 or $700,000. And I sit in that home, and I feel so almost unworthy to be there, but I get envious a little bit sometimes, especially when you go back to your apartment, a bachelor's apartment, and you see how you've been living and how you kind of let things slide a little bit. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But we do get envious sometimes with so other people having so many things. But the psalmist is trying to teach us here, don't you worry, don't you fret about evildoers. We've seen that just recently in Toronto as they've had their big summits there. And we've seen such violence and such wicked things happening and evil men and evil hearts. But the psalmist is trying to tell us here, look, just stand back and take it easy for a moment because God is going to deal with this thing. You know, there's no evil that really escapes God's eye. He'll deal with everything. And so he says to these, to us, fret not thyself and don't worry about those workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down. I often think when we have accidents reported in the news, and you hear of young people, so many young people dying at an early age, so many of us would say, "Why isn't that sad? What a tragedy that those young people, so young, and people middle age in their lives are snuffed out." You know, God has a reason, and God is in control. It's like the song says here, God is Almighty God. He's in control. Perhaps there was a reason, those young hearts, those young lives, those younger people, middle-aged people, perhaps there's a reason why God took them out of the way. Sometimes evil workers will be cut off. Now let's go on. I want to go quickly into our portion tonight. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Now notice those words, trust in the Lord and do good. I think the problem today, a little bit in our churches, God is blessing your church. I see that. It's the blessing is very evident. But so much in churches today, I'm afraid what's happening is people do trust in the Lord and people do good. But that's about as far as it goes with a lot of people, with a lot of individuals who claim to know Christ and to be saved. It's one thing to get saved, a wonderful thing to get saved, to know Christ as your Savior. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful thing to do good. In fact, over in John, the third John, it says that if you don't do good, you're not of God. So if you're born again of God's Holy Spirit, you will do good. It's natural. That's the natural outworking of the Holy Spirit in your life. But I'm afraid today that that's about as far as many of us go. Many people today who profess to know Christ, that's about as far as it goes. Something is happening, and I think we need to pay attention to it because it's affecting our churches. And as we look at the next verse, I want to go quickly to that, and then I'll come back. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart." I want you to notice that little word "also." There's something more important, something very important to us, even on top and even added to our salvation. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be baptized. It's a wonderful thing to know Christ and to serve Christ and to do good. But there's something more that God wants of you and that he wants of me. And it's spelled out for us here in this verse. Look at it again. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, but trust in him and do good, so shalt thou dwell. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Now what that word delight means, not only does it mean also there's something to be added on, but delight means to really make God, make Jehovah the joy and the rejoicing of the Spirit. Now you might think, well, I'm saved tonight and I'm happy and everything's going well. God is blessing me and he's blessing my home and blessing my family. Everything's great. But let me ask you tonight, what's happening in our churches when we just are not as excited and as enthused as we ought to be? There's something more for us. There's something deeper that God wants us to know and to feel and to understand and to experience. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And then the promise, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord. It means take great pleasure in. Enjoy life. Be happy. Be excited. Be enthused. We're missing something today. Yes, nice to come home. Nice to get little hugs and shake hands and renew old acquaintances and enjoy each other's fellowship. But what has happened to that old time religion when we weren't ashamed to stand up and be counted and to give a testimony for Christ and to shout amen when somebody says something that thrills your heart and blesses your heart? Something is missing, I believe. And the only answer, I believe, if we're going to take pleasure in our salvation, I think we need to go back to Calvary. I enjoyed the medley tonight by the choir. It covered a lot of different songs. I wish I could remember them right now to draw them to your attention. But go back to Calvary just for a moment, if you will. If you could go back and recount and read in the account in Scripture about how our blessed Lord bled and died and how they mocked him and ridiculed him and spit upon him and pulled the beard from him and put a crown of thorns upon him. And on the cross, they pierced his side and put nails through his hands and his feet. And as the soloist in our church this morning said, it wasn't the weight of the cross that was heavy upon our Lord. It was my sin that was upon my Lord. And it was my sin that he was dying for, and he was carrying my sin to the cross. When you stop and realize what it cost our dear God of heaven And by the way, that was God incarnate. That was the God come down from heaven and lived as a young man, lived, born as a baby, grew up as a young boy, never sinned, had the Holy Spirit upon him to minister and to carry out his duty to his Heavenly Father. Go back to Calvary and count your spiritual blessings. Count your spiritual blessings. That's the only way we're going to get excited and get something in our heart and something in our soul that says, hey, the Christian life is good. The Christian life is exciting. Not only do we are we saved and walking with the Lord and trying to serve the Lord, but we got to get that spirit back into our heart. Somehow we've got to get to where we can delight ourselves in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. So the first thing I want us to see tonight is we need to delight also in the Lord. And that word also means that on top of being saved and being serving the Lord and being good and doing good, we're going to go further. We're going to go further. We're going to go just about as far as we can possibly go. I like the song that Oswald J. Smith wrote, "Into the heart of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go, seeking to know the reason why He should love me so, why He should stoop to lift me up from the miry clay, saving my soul and making me whole, though I had wandered astray." Think of Calvary and think of the tremendous price that was paid for your salvation upon the cross of Calvary. I like the song, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee." There's got to be something deeper, folks. Perhaps you say, well, I'm happy, I'm satisfied, I'm saved, and I'm in the church, I'm singing in the choir, and I'm doing what God would have me to do. That's all I need to do. No, that's not all you need to do. Come with me, if you will, please, over into the book of Philippians. Come with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. One of the greatest preachers of all time, other than since the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, had a desire in his heart. I've often heard Pastor Strachan from this pulpit trying to mention in a Scottish way that the Scottish people have that little, sometimes a little itch down in their heart that they can't get at the scratch. Remember that? Have you heard that? That's something that ought to be in every one of our hearts. Something deeper, something of a longing to know God and to experience Him in a wonderful, refreshing way, day by day, moment by moment. Something to add to that salvation in our daily walk. In Philippians chapter 3, pick up our reading at verse 7, if you will, please. Here's the Apostle Paul. And I think if you would go into 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read what the Apostle Paul suffered, what he went through, he literally took, I believe it's 300, how many, 5 times 40 minus 5, 239, 235 stripes on his back. More than the Lord Jesus, I think it's the same, or the more than the Lord Jesus took. And all of the shipwrecks and stones and persecutions, everything he went through. You would have thought he was so close to God and so walking in the Spirit that there was nothing more to add. There was nothing more to have. And perhaps that's you tonight. You think, hey, there's nothing more that I can get. I'm doing good. I'm serving the Lord. I'm singing in the choir. I'm soul winning. I'm out knocking on doors. I'm doing all of those things. But listen, when God created you and me, He created us uniquely different. Every one of us are different. Created us in a unique way. And in every one of us, He puts something down inside of us. Soul and spirit. And that soul and that spirit can never be satisfied until it knows Him fully, intimately. And it will never be satisfied until we see Him face to face in glory. Look what the Apostle Paul said in verse 7. Follow with me, please. "All of the things, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." Now there's the secret. There's something about God that we never, never will comprehend till we see Him face to face. But He wants us to keep looking. He wants us to keep searching. He wants us to keep asking. He wants us to keep knowing Him in a deeper and a fuller way. "The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Here's the secret. "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him." Here's the secret, beloved. Here's the secret. Can you say this tonight? I have one sincere, earnest desire. that I might know Him. Know Him. Now you think about knowing God and all there is to know about God. The Apostle Paul wrote all of the doctrines that we hold dear in the church. Our churches are built upon the doctrines of the Pauline epistles mainly. Now Paul, he knew God. Out in the backside of the Arabia, we believe that God for 3 years taught the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit. That was his Bible college training. He knew God, and about as much as anyone would think, you think. But no, there was something deeper. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. See, there was something different, something more. He wanted that something more, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of the sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Now look at this. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. That means the Apostle Paul was saying, God made me uniquely different, and He made me for a purpose. He made me for a special calling upon my life. Now, He overcame me that I might overcome. And Paul's desire was, now I want to overcome everything that God overcame me for. God saved me and called me, chose me, gave me a ministry, gave me a calling, and he told me what He wanted me to do. Now I want to fulfill that calling. And I can't do it. I can't live up to what God would have me to be until I know Him personally, intimately, as He said here, in the power of the resurrection. That means the Holy Spirit that brought Christ out of the grave, the power of the resurrection, that's what He wanted to know. He wanted to know that power. I wonder tonight, do you want to know that power? Do you want to know that extra something that God has for you? Not only to know Him and delight in Him, but to follow through and apprehend, to overcome that for which you were saved and overcome it. And then we'll go on quickly back in the 37th Psalm again. Paul delighted to know something about Christ. He wanted that. May we have that same desire in our heart. Delight in the Lord. Until you know it and want it and search for it, you'll never have the full delight that God wants you to have. You will never know the joy and the peace and the happiness that God wants you to know and to experience until we seek out that secret power of the resurrection that the Apostle Paul wanted. Then there's one other thing. That's one of the first things that God requires of us, to know the peace and the joy. The second thing is found here in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. We could dwell some time on this, but I will not labor the point. Commit your way unto the Lord and trust also in Him. What that simply means is, roll your burden right over on the Lord. Everything that you've got, everything that's a burden to you, everything that's a concern, everything that's weighing you down. Now, this is hard to do sometimes. You know, we like to do things ourselves. I'm fussy that way. I work with some men painting like that. And it annoys me a little bit when somebody is put to work with me. Sometimes my own son. They just don't do things the way I like to do it. I like to do it myself. You know, even in life, we are that way. We just like to run our own lives. We just like to be in control. I don't think anyone is here tonight that wouldn't agree with me on that. Hey, I'm making my own decisions. I don't need to worry about God too much. I can handle this thing by myself. But we need to realize that God wants us to roll our burden over on Him. Perhaps tonight with you, it's finances. We are reminded through the media that every one of us is indebted to our country about $40,000. I'm not sure what the figure is. Every individual is in debt by $40,000. Oh, listen, finances. And then there's sickness and the problem we were just discussing with one of the men. The cancer problem that's prevalent today took my wife away. It's taken many out of our church. There's a half a dozen today in our church suffering from this matter of cancer. It's a terrible, terrible thing, but God has permitted it. He has permitted it. And perhaps there's marriage problems in the home. Perhaps there's teenage problems. Problems, problems, problems. God says, look, as the song said, I'm still here. I'm still in control. Just roll that burden over onto me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It's not easy to do. It simply means hands off, letting go, saying, God, it's yours. It's yours. I know what's best. You know what's best for me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. That trust means faith. This is where faith comes in, you know. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. All that come to him must believe and trust in him. It takes faith. I think that's where we're lacking a little bit today. As I say, sometimes things are happening in our churches. If you haven't read about the big movement in the States, the emergent church, and things that are happening down there, and how churches are just getting away from the Bible, getting away from God. I was going to say at the beginning, you know, when we look at these Psalms, this is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to us. The Old Testament's the same as the New Testament. God works and moves and speaks to hearts through this. It's God's Word. But we're getting away from that today. You know, since the turn of the century, the 1900s, there's over 100 new versions, different versions, not new versions, but different versions of the Bible. We've got away from it. We need to come back to some good old Holy Spirit revival. We need to come back to that place where we're willing to say, I want to delight myself in the Lord. I want to be what he wants me to be. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to serve him with all my heart. We need to come back to that place where we commit our ways unto the Lord. You're going through some trying times here at Bethel. Let me suggest to you there's a real answer to it all. Prayer. Prayer. Amen. Prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Just let this whole situation fall upon God and upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and relax. That's really what it says down here. Just relax. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And so, there's so many other things I was going to say, but time slips away and you have a full evening. Trust in every situation of life. That's what I would suggest you to do. Trust in every situation of life. You know, God has an answer. I was thinking of all of again today as I have this little article. I want to read it for you. A young college man with a promise of a bright future was smitten blind. After his battle was fought in his heart and he won, he accepted his blindness as a sacred gift from God. And then he laid it on the altar as a consecrated offering for the glory of the Lord. This was his prayer. Father, I thank thee for the talent of blindness. May I so invest that talent that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, he may receive his own with glory. That's committing your burden to the Lord. Just laying it all on him, no matter what it is. Whatever is dragging you down as a burden to you, just lay it on the Lord. This is what this young man did. It was little he could do in his blindness, one might think. And yet this was Dr. Moon of Brighton, the man who invented the moon system of raised letters for the blind, which has put the scriptures within the reach of millions of blind folk throughout the world. The system has been utilized in 492 languages and dialects and has let the light of eternity stream into souls of a vast multitude. There's no limit what you can do, friends. Here in this local church, there's no limit. There's no stopping you. You want to grow in number? Here's the secret. Delight in the Lord. Commit your ways unto him and trust in him. He'll use you. It's amazing what God will do with this local church. Sometimes we go through trials and people wonder, well, what will ever happen? What will ever be the result? Just be faithful. Just keep pressing on. Just keep true. Keep trusting God. God can use every one of you. I said he made you and he made me, each one of us, uniquely different for a specific reason and a specific purpose. It's up to you and it's up to me to find out what that purpose is and what God wants to do with us, how he wants to use us. The story is told of a man who worked at the ticket counter in New York City in the subway station. Every morning a certain lady would come by and this gentleman would say one morning, he stopped her and he says, I would like to thank you. And she looked at him and she said, thank me? What do you want to thank me for? And he said, I've been at this station for 15 years and every time you come by, every morning you come by on your way to work, you have a smile and you say thank you. And I thought to myself, Why does that lady always come by? Why does she always say thank you and have a smile? I thought to myself, there must be a reason. And he said, one day as he was talking to the lady, one day you came by and you had a little Bible in your hand. And he said, I wonder, is that why she's always happy, why she's always smiling, why she always says thank you? And so he said, I went out and bought myself a little Bible. And I read the Bible and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And she said, as she was telling the story, she said, I never dreamt all that time what was happening. It took 15 years for that gentleman, that man, to say thank you. And so he did thank her that she was the one really that got him on the right track. You know, tonight, we take this psalm home with you tonight. It's really written to help us to not get envious and not get jealous of the world, of evil workers, and to remember that God is sovereign. He works things out in His own time. He deals with the wicked, and He will deal with the wicked, but He also deals with the righteous. He wants to bless you. He wants you to know Him in such a personal, intimate way, over and above the average Christian walk. There's something deeper. There's something more that He wants us to have. And we can only find that as we delight in the Lord, as we read His Word and study, pray, and long to go deeper in the things of God. It's there for us if we want it. And so the psalmist would teach us, would remind us that God is sovereign. He works it all out. He's in control. And so may He challenge each one of our hearts. In the days that lie before us, here as a local church, but individually, to be what He would have us to be. And if I could encourage you when you go home tonight and you have your devotions or you kneel down by the bed, that you say, Dear God, the Apostle Paul wanted something deeper. After all he did, his training and his preaching and his teaching and all he knew about the doctrines of Christ, there was something more. Father, help me. I want to know that deeper life, that deeper walk with you. The one that will help me to delight more and more, to be more pleased in my Christian walk, and to please you, my Heavenly Father. Oh, listen, the day is coming close, folks. We're soon going to hear the trumpet sound. We're soon going home. It's not long away now. All of the things that are happening in the world today is just a warning. It's coming. I read a lot of articles that the media won't even mention. It's happening down around the golf course. It's happening in the States. Things are serious. Jesus is coming soon. Father in heaven, it's just been a few moments that we've looked at your word, but Father, there's so much there for us. And throughout the very word of God, help us to meditate upon it. Help us to realize, Father, that there is a deeper life, a deeper walk, something more that the Christian can seek out. There are many people who seek out different ways and different ideas and different schemes and try to present Christ and the Holy Spirit in different ways. But Father, teach us your way. Teach us the truth. Help us to wait upon you, to delight in you, and to commit our ways unto you, moment by moment, day by day. Thank you for this time in Jesus' name.